We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Here at the Commonwealth Institute in London, we have another edition of My Music for you. The cast is unchanged, but I'll put a brave face on it just the same as I introduce John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. Here's some cheerful and familiar music just to start us off. John Amis, what is this? Looking a bit puzzled.
I'm very puzzled. Is it French music?
No.
It is not French music?
No.
But then I'm...
Or Niet, I should have said. Niet.
Pardon?
Niet.
Russian.
Yes.
Russian.
You have actually a choice of two.
Not that old stinker glinker again, is it?
No. Not stinker glinker, no. I can't do a rhyme for this chap.
You can't.
No. You have a choice. It occurs in a ballet and in a seasonal piece as well.
Ian Wallace is holding up a glass of vodka.
Well, that's to show you that it's not blinker.
Glass slippers.
Glasgow.
I don't think I can help anymore. It's Glazunov's ballet, The Seasons. The same theme occurs in the birthday offering. Rather strident orchestral playing, I thought there, if you noticed. It reminded me of Richard Strauss's advice to young conductors. Remember, he said to young conductors, never look encouragingly at the brass. So true. So no mark to start with, but see how you get on, Frank. Debussy, Frank, gave this music a very evocative name. Let's see how close you can get to his title. A title.
Claire de Lune's brother, Pan.
Brother?
Pant.
Pant.
Pantaloon.
Sorry. It would do rather nicely.
But it's a sort of lapping pause and wave suggestion, wasn't it?
Yes, there was.
It went.
Yes.
Also, I had an astral whisper from my port side, which said, En bateau.
En bateau, yes. From Debussy's petite suite for two pianos. En bateau is his title, and I prefer yours, but then I knew I would. Ian, you will know this immediately, but do you know what it's called?
You're absolutely right. I knew immediately.
Tremendously familiar, isn't it?
Not what it was called, but
no.
I've heard it. Rightly or wrongly, I associate that with a television series of many years ago called Face to Face.
I think you'd be wrong.
But very likely.
I think you'd be wrong. I don't think it was used in... Was it used in that, John, do you know?
I don't think so.
I don't think it was, no.
Not unless they were wearing masks at the time.
Oh, yes. That's a hint. A heavy, heavy hint.
A heavy hint, is
yes.
it?
Italian masks at that.
Masca.
Well, no, you're being a little too literal, actually. John thought his was by a French composer, and this one is. This is a French composer.
Good.
I don't think I'm going to
get this.
It's by Fauré, and it's the overture from Masque et Bergamasque, which was the way John was trying to help you.
Oh, I see. Well, the only connection I ever had with Bergamask was playing the part of Bottom in Midsummer Night's Dream, and he talks about a Bergamask towards the end, I remember, in the play scene. We would have had to have gone a long, long way round before we'd have got there. Yes.
No marks to you. Turn your face to wall. No marks.
Oh, very crisp.
Yeah, very good. Dennis, for you, a different kind of music, as it so often is in this programme. Yeah. Who is this sexy gentleman?
Midnight seems so nice to me. It's the start of a new day. And there's no place in this world that I'd rather be than right here with midnight and you. Right on, baby.
I had a feeling you might say that. Right on.
Yeah. It's funny how my questions, you're quite right, I get a feeling that the whole programme changes from the kind of socio-economic grouping A1, B1 down to the C's and D's. Either faint memories or associations with Telly Savalas there, but the R's are different. I don't know. I think I've heard it, and I've probably heard the guy's name, but... Yeah. You know, you get to a certain age where in order to store any fresh information, you have to push another bit of information out. And I don't think there was anything I was ready to part with to make way for him.
Yes. He calls his group the Love Unlimited Orchestra. His name's Barry White. He's an enormous man, musically very talented. He does arrangements and compositions and so on. I went to see him at a concert at the Royal Albert Hall in London, and he came on. I don't see anybody else do this. He came on in the spotlight, and in his right hand was a hand mic and a lit cigarette. And he managed somehow to sing into the microphone and drag on the cigarette at the same time without getting the two inextricably and painfully mixed.
What is that group?
Louis Armstrong did that, actually, and got them mixed, hence Hot Lips.
He was quite a well-known or famous Italian tenor of a few years ago who had a recording technique that the conductor used to play the aria that he was recording over and over again, and always had to be at the same speed for obvious reasons. And he would stand there smoking a cigarette and just put in a few notes each time. He would let it go. I mean, the first time he might sing, La Donna Mobile. Have a go. Did a few, and then put in a little bit later. And then always the first time he put the top C at the end in when he was fresh. you could do that and smoke quite happily.
Let's move on to the next round. When people say to me they don't write songs like the old songs, my mind goes back to the really old songs, the music hall songs, the comedy songs. For instance, that lovely title of a Dan Leno song. Do you remember? Young Men Taken In and Done For. So back to the old days. I'm going to give you the title and ask you for the payoff line that follows it. John, we've talked about this before, so just remind us for your mark, why build a wall round a graveyard... Do you remember the payoff line? Why build a wall round a graveyard? Frank can help you, I think.
Nobody wants to get in.
Yes.
Out.
When nobody wants to get in is the answer.
Nobody can get out.
I'll give you the mark because it came from your side. So, Frank, it's your turn. Wilkie Bard had a song called She Cost Me 7 and 6 Pence.
I should have bought a dog.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. She cost me 7 and 6 pence. I wish I'd bought a dog, is actually. It's the real male chauvinist remark, isn't it? Sort of, as you say in your book, it's the sort of remark that gets you pippin pelted, isn't it, my ladies? Yeah. Ian, can you finish off this one? You can't keep a horse in a lighthouse.
You know. But a town hall's all right for a mayor.
A golden mark to you because it's better than the original, I think. The actual song reads, you can't keep a horse in a lighthouse, nay, nay, nay.
Much better.
Yes. Why don't we give him 1.5 marks out?
Yes.
Dennis, you're such a specialist at these old songs that in your case I'm going to read out most of the chorus and ask you for the last title line. You ready? I acted so tragic, the house rose like magic, the audience yelled, "You're sublime!" They made me a present of Mornington Crescent, they threw it a brick at a time. Lloyd George and Clemenceau, they both carried on so. The King of the Belgians rushed in with Alfonso. They pleaded unheeded, and all of them cried in one breath, "There's another war coming if you don't stop humming."
The night I appeared in Macbeth.
Yes, thank you.
Actually, it didn't have a tune. It was Billy Merson used to sing it, and he used to sing it in the kind of character of an old actor, and he had a marvellous trick of rolling the R's of words that didn't have R's in them. So, and there's one bit in it where he used to say, "They threw nuts and sultanas, fried eggs and bananas."
Just to stop the letters coming in, it's actually "The Night I Appeared as
Macbeth,"
written by William Hargreaves, 1932, so it's a bit later than the other songs, some of them. Good. In this next round, the question is, what comes next? John Amos, what comes next after this?
I don't know. It's one of those sort of have a banana.
Yours is much better than his. It's actually the Rome narration from Tannhäuser. Let's hear a bit more of it, sung by Mercure. So on. Yours was very like it, wasn't it? No marks, all the same. Frank, here's a very rough and ready introduction. How do you think it goes on?
Ave Maria.
Well, no.
It could go on to anything, couldn't it?
It could go on to anything.
Down on Jollity Farm.
Yes, that's right. It's the sort of introduction I've noticed that in those days was played by the orchestra at that tempo, and the singer there almost always, you'll know this, Ian, had to come in at a slightly slower tempo. And that is, in fact, exactly what happens. This is how it goes. Listen. It's Gracie Fields. A song called Our Avenue.
Once introduced by Bruce Forsyth many years ago at the Palladium as the inimitable Gracie Fields.
That's lovely, because nobody's more imitable, are they? That's super. Yeah, love that. Gracie Fields. I can't give you the mark, though, can I? It may be that nobody's going to get in this round. I don't know a mark, but I think perhaps Ian will. You will know yours, or, well, you can have a guess at that, I think. Ian, what follows this?
What actually follows is the verse, and I don't know the verse, but I know the chorus goes, "I got a motto, always merry and bright."
Yes, you get the mark, don't you? Let's hear a little bit of it and see if you can identify the singer on this recording.
I've always been, since quite a lad, cheery and gay when things were bad. That is a way I've always had. I look on the bright side.
Dennis, perhaps help, I don't know.
Oh, no.
We all know him.
Roy Hudd.
No, it's not.
No.
Anybody in the audience know? No. No. John Pertwee. John Pertwee singing My Motto from the Arcadians.
Whether it's an apocryphal story or not, I don't know, but it's said, I think it was Mark Lester who sang it or Alfred Lester on the first night.
Yeah.
And he scored an enormous success with it, and it comes very late in the show. And apparently he was terribly nervous about this song, because it was late in the evening, and he was absolutely shaking, and he sort of went, "Oh, God, what? Oh, Miss Mary." And it was a sensation.
Created it, yes. Created the definitive performance which everybody's had to give ever since.
Yes.
Really, yes. Wasn't that the show in which he went to see a dying friend, and he started reading the railway timetable, isn't that right?
That's right.
When
yeah.
I got to the 5:47 from Bury St Edmunds to Gravesend, he passed away.
That's the one.
Something like that, anyway.
The Arcadian.
Yes. Dennis, I'm sure you only need one chord to tell us what follows this.
I don't know.
You really don't, do you?
No, I don't think so. Can I hear it again?
You might be able to hear it again. Shall we set it up and play it again to you and see how you get on this time?
Oh, dear. It is elusive.
It's like those old clocks that just chime one.
No, I don't know it. I'm sorry.
I'll hear the rest of it.
It's been a hard day.
Oh, it's so infuriating.
Yes, isn't it? The Beatles, it was. A hard day's night, so I can't give you the mark. Lytton Strachey wrote once about where one should be when reading certain authors. One should read Pope in a garden, he said, Herrick in an orchard, and Shelley in a boat at sea. It leads me to ask, how about music? Given the regrettable present-day portability of recorded music, where should one be when listening to certain composers or works or types of music? So, a thought, John, where would a piece of music and where one should be when listening to it? Or composer?
I don't know. I think Bach in church.
Well, yes. That's
Tristan in bed.
Yes.
Beatles in lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
Do for a start off, I think. Frank, you had a moment to think, only a moment.
It's rather good, isn't it? I think on the Woolwich Ferry, with everybody standing on one side, Liszt. in the pits at Silverstone, doing a Formula One racing, Brahms, Brahms. In a massage parlour, Buttock. At the Chelsea Flower Show,
warmed up,
Delia's.
Ian, any thoughts?
Well, I can only sort of quote from a long ago personal experience of, as a young boy, having one of these portable portable gramophones.
HML.
I remember taking this onto a very shingly beach in the north of Scotland, in Morrishire, and playing records of Fats Waller.
Ah, yes.
And with the wind blowing, but this blue sea, and listening to sort of, oh, believe it, beloved, because it's true, yes, you're all that I want you to. And that, to me, was marvellous.
Apropos that, Spike Hughes, may I tell you, once said that one should listen to Louis Armstrong's Hot Five on a wind-up gramophone in a punt. Only place we use that.
Punt,
it's similar, isn't it?
A punt in the Moray Firth would be a little hazardous.
Dennis, music, where should one listen to what music?
I think bagpipes should only be heard out of doors, and preferably on a battlefield only.
Out of earshot,
yeah.
Say.
And I think it's best not to hear Abide With Me on a ship.
Yes.
Better than hearing it in the water.
Yes. I'm the only person around here who, knowing about this question, had the chance to line up a little bit of recording. There's a favourite composition of mine which I think should always be listened to in the dark, and it's the Debussy Quartet. Listen, turn your lights off at home and just listen to a bar or two of this. Now, lovely. Lights up now. In this final round, the order of appearance is slightly changed so that Ian can take us out on a bit of good, rich singing instead of Dennis taking us out on a bit of good, rich singing. So, John, you first. This is a song that I find very touching. I think perhaps because of the fact that it's rather sentimental. Thomas Moore wrote the words, "She is far from the land." Frank Lambert added his music in 1897. Ready?
She is far from the land where her young hero sleeps, and lovers around her are sighing, but coldly she turns from their gaze and weeps. For her heart in his grave is lost. Sings the wild songs of her dear native plains. Every word that he loved when awaking, but little they think who delight in her strains. That the heart of the men still is brave.
To singing when John went to the bad.
Frank, your turn. I want to be happy. Song hardly recognisable when you say it like that. I want to be happy.
It's a song that featured in Variety very much, wasn't it?
Yes, play-ons for comics.
I want to be happy, but I can't be happy till I make you happy too. There's a very sad story, wasn't it? It was always sung by the last act on, because when the star came on, they used to have a last act, who was usually a tap dancer or something, who did a little bit, and when the audience was visibly bored with him, the conductor immediately segued into the national anthem. And one of these tap dancers was going for his band call, and the band leader said, what's your music? Can I have your dots? And he said, well, it's not necessary, you see. All I do is I come on and I dance. And it goes, I want to be happy, but I can't be happy till I make you happy. Da, 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 da.
sad story. Dennis, a good way to have a girl in every town is to be a Pullman Porter man, like Dan. Can you...
Dapper Dan was a Pullman Porter man on a train that ran through Dixie. Everyone knew Dapper Dan, knew him for a ladies' man. Never cared to settle down. Had a girl in every town. Had a girl in every town. On the train the whole day long, you would hear him sing this song. If I lose my gal in Tennessee, that won't worry me, 'cause I got another honey lamb waiting for me down in Alabama. With somewhat of variance, I feel. Anyway, it goes on, and it takes in Georgia and Caroline and so on, and he ends up by saying that, and if he loses them all, he's still got the wife.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Thank you.
I tell you what, that was actually sung by somebody we've never had on this program, Melville Gideon.
Yes.
It was introduced by Melville Gideon in The Co-Optimist. Mm. I think we should have a Melville Gideon record, because he was very good.
Yeah.
That song reminds me of the fact that though many thousands of people have tried to imitate Bud Flanagan, only Dennis sings like Alan.
I still think there's plenty of room for a Dennis Norden LP.
Yes.
I really do.
Yeah. Well. anyway, thank you for Dapper Dan. A very American song, Dennis, as was obvious from the places. The publishers in Britain put out a special English version which began, "If I lose my girl in Aberdeen, I won't make a scene,
because I've got another, as a rule, waiting for me down in Liverpool. It was not a success, that version. Ian, one of my happiest Drury Lane memories is of seeing you co-starring with Robert Morley in Harold Rome's show Fanny. Welcome home. Can you oblige, please?
Welcome home, says the street as I hurry on my way. Welcome home, sings the gate like a song. Welcome home, says the door, glad to feel your hand once more. Now you're back where you belong. Welcome home, ticks the clock. Now it's time to get undressed. Welcome home, says the floor to your shoe. Then you turn out the light, and the darkness says good night. Welcome home to you.
Playoff. And at the end of our home stretch, I see we have a tiny little victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.